Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We are today going to begin at verse 16 and read to the end of the chapter. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Amen. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. We have seen in this chapter what I called the golden chain of gospel preaching. We saw in it as Paul reveals it backwards to us. But as we think about it, it begins with God sending out someone to preach so that those who hear the message preached may believe the gospel and then call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Now, the question, of course, is this chain something that is automatic? Can it be broken? Can it fail at any point? Well, let me answer that question by giving you an illustration. Have you ever been in a worship service where, let's say, there are two men who hear the gospel proclaimed very clearly, who the word is preached, it is preached faithfully, it is preached clearly, it is preached understandably, and one of these men is cut to the heart, he sees his sin, he repents, he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and calls upon Him for salvation and is saved. And the other fellow doesn't seem to pay any attention whatsoever to what is said. As a matter of fact, as the sermon goes on, he may even get madder and madder, and his end result may be that he wants to kill the preacher. Think about Jesus. Think about Stephen. Think about Paul. And so... you've got two completely different responses to faithful proclaiming of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, Paul gives the answer here and other places throughout this letter. And so this golden chain of gospel preaching is not some automatic thing. It is something that can be broken. And where it is broken is at the point of belief. Those who fail to believe the gospel fail to obey the call to repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So at the point of unbelief, the chain is snapped. Only God can cause this chain to hold, and He does so by giving grace to those who hear so that they can believe and so that they can call upon Him and so that they are saved. And that's what Paul is getting at here. And so he talks about hearing. But he talks about hearing without faith mixed in right at first. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, he says. And then he quotes from Isaiah, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So his conclusion is faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Is Paul, when he says, so they have not all obeyed. Is he talking about Jews or Gentiles here? If you read the commentators, some will say, well, it's obviously Jews, and others will say, no, it's Gentiles. And so it's sort of up in the air as far as men are concerned. But what he's saying here is true of all men, for sure. It's true of both Jews and Gentiles alike. All of us are in this condition. All of us need the gospel. And so, really, when you look at the context, I think he's talking here about his Jewish compatriots. He's talking about his countrymen who have not believed the gospel even though they have heard the gospel proclaimed. And so it's a fact that from Jesus' day onward to our day, that many of the Jews have not obeyed the gospel message. Now, when the Apostle Paul says, obeyed the gospel, what he means is they have not really heard the gospel since they have not done what is commanded. There's an interesting thing here. R.C. Sproul brings it out quite clearly. He says this. He says there's a play on words in the original language here between the Greek word for hearing and the Greek word for obedience. The verb to hear is akouein, which means to hear. Okay, we get acoustic from that. All right, so think acoustic, akouein. You hear something. The verb to obey is hupokouein. It's akouein, acoustic, with the word hyper added to it in the front of it. And so what it literally means is the word for obedience in Greek that Paul uses here is hyper-hearing. And what he is simply saying is those who hear are the ones where the message gets through and penetrates not just their eardrums but their hearts. That's what he's getting at. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about people who heard of Him and even called on Him openly, but they didn't do what He said. They failed at this point. In Luke 6, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" And so obedience to what is preached is the response that Paul is saying ought to come to the gospel. The response is repent and believe, and they have not done this. And so hearing and doing are tied together in this response to the gospel message. Hearing has to do with listening to the report of the gospel, and doing has to do with heeding the call to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 53. He quotes from Isaiah to show that God knows and God has predicted that men on their own without a work of His grace in their hearts will not believe the message preached. So this section that we're looking at here is what happens to men when God's grace isn't given to them though the truth is proclaimed to them. That's what this whole last section is about. Faith consists in accepting the heard message as being true and then putting your trust in the one about whom this message speaks. That's what we're going after. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the Word of Christ, and that means the gospel message about Christ is heard and responded to by faith. That's what he's saying. That's the way it happens. But failure to respond by faith is failure to truly hear and to heed God's command. And that's the sin that the majority of Paul's compatriots in his day, the Jews, were guilty of, and that's the sin that they're guilty of today as well. Then Paul goes on to say, well, let's just think about the fact that pleading ignorance isn't going to work. But I ask you, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for, and then he quotes once again from Psalm 19, their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. Knowledge of the gospel is absolutely necessary for faith. And God has ordained that the knowledge of the gospel be preached to the whole world. Now, men everywhere hear the silent preaching of the truth of God's existence that's shown in nature around us and creation around us. That's what Psalm 19 is talking about. But what Paul does here is he takes that psalm and he applies it. It's talking about the heavenly bodies. It's talking about the creation. He applies it to the spread of the gospel. He's saying the gospel itself has gone forth. It has gone forth into all the world as a witness for Christ. In the early 1800s, Haldane said the gospel had now been everywhere preached. And he quotes from Colossians 1:23. which says in part, the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Paul wrote that. Now, what do we think about that? What we think about it is simply this, that by the end of the apostolic period, there were estimated to be 500,000 Christians in the world. 500,000 converts to the Lord Jesus Christ. So many, many Gentiles had heard and believed the gospel, but during that same time period, not many Jews had responded in faith. And then by the end of the second century AD, Justin Martyr said, this is a quote, "There is no people, Greek or barbarian, or of any other race, by whatever appellation or manners they may be distinguished, however ignorant of arts or agriculture, whether they dwell in tents or wander about in covered wagons, among whom prayers and thanksgivings are not offered in the name of the crucified Jesus to the Father and Creator of all things." And so he's saying by the end of the second century, Christ was widely known in the known world, the Roman world in his day. And so Paul's talking about his countrymen, and he's saying during that same time period, why have they not responded in faith? Could it be they didn't understand? Was there some defect in the way the gospel was being preached to the Jews in that day? No. And he goes to the heart of the issue, and the heart of the issue is rejection. Rejection predicted in the Old Testament, predicted in Moses, and predicted in Isaiah. I ask you, did Israel not understand? He says, first Moses says, "I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry." Could Israel plead that they had not, they couldn't be held responsible for unbelief because they had not understood this message of the gospel? No. They couldn't. And the reason they couldn't is because God had already in the Old Testament scriptures repeatedly warned them that He would reject them because of persistent unbelief. And so to prove this, what Paul does is he goes to the Law and the Prophets. He goes to Moses. He goes to Isaiah. That's shorthand for the whole Old Testament. And so what Paul is basically saying here is, you can't plead ignorance of this. You can't plead that you didn't understand, because the entire Old Testament proclaims this truth. The passage from Deuteronomy 32 that he quotes is dealing with God's mercies given to Israel and then their stubborn rebellion and lack of thankfulness and faithfulness to God. God warned Israel over and over that just as they have provoked Him to jealousy by idolatry, so He would then turn and provoke them to jealousy by those who were not a people, meaning the Gentiles. At that time, they remember, as Paul describes the Gentiles, he said they were not a people. Now they have become the people of God. And so the meaning is God would eventually reject Israel and choose in their place the Gentiles who formerly were not His people. And if the Jews in Paul's day hadn't been willfully blind to that truth, they should have seen and recognized this is what God says in our law. And then Isaiah predicts it. Isaiah is so bold as to say, he says, "I've been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me." So Moses is plain. Isaiah is plainer. He says it more clearly. Again. And again, in this letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul points out that the Gentiles were not seeking after God, and yet they have found Him through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah had predicted the inclusion of the Gentiles into God's holy kingdom. And so God, in His grace, had sent out the message of salvation in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Gentiles, who were living in sin, who were living in rebellion against God, who were not seeking for Him at all, found Him in the message proclaimed to them. And the Jews didn't. And so he turns at the very last verse of this chapter and talks about their disobedience. And he speaks about God's expressed desire. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands. See, on the other hand, God has invited and entreated and pleaded with the Jews to repent and to believe, and yet they have not done so. To stretch out the hands in Scripture means to entreat, to invite someone. And God is portrayed here as the one who has great love for His wayward, sinful children. He has held His hand out to them and called them to repent and to believe, to return to Him. And He does it constantly. All day long means all the time, constantly. He did this over and over again. All the prophets speak of it. Hosea says, therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light, that God would bring judgment upon them to turn them to Himself. And Jeremiah chapter 11 says, I solemnly warned your fathers when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, warning them persistently, even to this day, saying, obey my voice. And Isaiah in chapter 5, in the illustration of the vineyard, God says, and now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there for me to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? So what we've got here is God stretching forth His hands to that people all day long. During the whole period of time of the Old Testament. And here this complaint is verified by their continuing, notwithstanding, to be a disobedient, rebellious people. And the fault's their own. And the awful sentence that follows is merited and just. All day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. That's the result that comes when only the outward message is preached and it's not accompanied by an outpouring of God's efficacious grace. That's why people can hear the gospel message and never repent and never turn and never believe. Because if the work of the Holy Spirit is not present in a person's life, if the gospel message is not accompanied by the grace of God in a person's life, then the message goes in one ear and out the other. It never penetrates to the heart. And that was what was going on in Paul's day among his own countrymen. He said earlier, remember the last chapter, where Paul said, if God had not saved a remnant by grace, the entire nation of Israel would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. They would have been wiped off the face of the earth. Just nothing left whatsoever. Only God can save a people. And so he describes Israel's rebellion as being a disobedient and contrary people. But that describes all of mankind too. That describes what we're all like. We should not just point the finger at one group of people and say they're the only disobedient, rebellious people. No, not at all. We are all exactly like this. If God were not gracious, if He only proclaimed the truth of the gospel and then left it up to men by themselves to believe it, which is what some preachers preach, guess what? Nobody would believe and no one would ever be saved. If God simply put forth the message clearly and truthfully and said, now it's up to you, heaven would be empty except for Christ. It would be empty. Sinful men of whatever background, Jew or Gentile, would always refuse to hear, would always refuse to obey the command to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, would always choose the wrong way, always disobedient and contrary. Don't do that. And we do exactly that. Don't go that way. And we go in the way that's contrary to what God says to go. Always. If the internal work of the Holy Spirit who regenerates us enables us to have new hearts, gives us new hearts, enables us to believe. If His work were not done in us, in God's elect, no one would ever believe. But when the internal work of the Holy Spirit is done, when He falls upon His elect, not only are you unable to resist Him, you become unwilling to resist the message preached. See, without the Holy Spirit, you don't want to hear the message. You actively fight against the message. You actively hate it and don't want to hear it. Once the Holy Spirit has regenerated you and given you a new heart, you want to believe the message, and you are given faith to believe the message. You are regenerated so that you want to believe. You are given faith so that you do believe. So the point is, very clearly, if there were no such thing as election, there would be no salvation. Not for anyone. Because if God simply left it up to mankind to choose Him, nobody would ever choose Him. Nobody would ever choose Him. Everyone would reject the message of the gospel. But because God has elected a people unto salvation and has given efficacious grace to us, we are saved by the word of Christ proclaimed to us. Let's pray. Father, You are indeed an awesome and a marvelous God. If it were not for Your holy work in us, if it were not for Your efficacious grace, if it were not for the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, if it were not for the shed blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we could not be saved. We would not want to be saved. But Father, because of all of that marvelous work that You have done, we are brought out of darkness into light. We are transferred from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son. We're given new life, spiritual life, and we are enabled to believe, trust, and follow Christ all our lives. And Father, every single bit of this is Your grace. We praise You for that and thank You for that. And Father, bless us to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel, knowing, Lord, that You have Your elect there who will hear. And Lord, when they hear, nothing can stop them from believing in Christ. And Father, please work in such a way also that we are not discouraged when the gospel, when we proclaim the gospel and it is heard by those who are not of Your elect, those who have not been given any grace to believe, those who are not regenerate and not to be regenerated. Father, bless us not to become discouraged when they reject it out of hand, for You have ordained and proclaimed that, and we see it throughout Scripture. And so, Father, keep us faithful to You in preaching Your truth, knowing that You will save Your people. We ask this in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.